First Peter chapter number 2, verse number 18. We'll read a few verses and we'll pray. If you're able to, would you please stand in reading to the reverence of the Word of God? And First Peter chapter number 2, starting at verse number 18, the Bible says, "Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. For this is thankworthy if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it if when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously." Kind and gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you so much, Lord, for being in your house today. Father, we pray, Lord, that you bless us and strengthen each and every person in here today. Father, I pray for the power, Lord, and the anointing to preach. Father, I plead the blood of Jesus Christ upon this place, Lord, that the devil may not have one foothold, Lord. Father, I pray most of all, Lord, for that lost person that may be in here today. Father, I pray for a conviction, Lord, that they see their need of a Savior. Father, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So the title of the message is Enduring Grief. Enduring grief. In this context, it's talking about being a good servant, about being good servant and being a good witness and a good testimony no matter where you are, even if you're serving an unrighteous or maybe in your job or in your school. You are subject onto people who may not be Christians, but it's talking about being a good witness anyway, a good testimony. And you will endure grief. You'll get persecution. You'll get tribulation because of your stance on the Word of God, because of your stance on Christ. That's normal. But what I want to look at is enduring grief for three different reasons or three different avenues. Enduring grief from our foes. You know, a lot of times, I get to meet a lot of people who aren't exactly believe the same way I do, who may not like me, who may not like the stand I take, who may not like that I believe in Christ, that I'm born again, that I'm saved, that I believe in the Bible. They may not like it, but I still try to reach out to them. I still reach out to them with the love of Christ and share with them the light. I share with them the Word and in hopes that they get saved too. Well, you know, every time you do that, you get a good response. Sometimes the Lord may tell you to go witness to somebody and deal with you about it. You'll go and witness to them and they'll just throw it right back in your face. Right back in your face. And you may say to yourself, well, why'd you do that? Why, Lord, did you have me go witness to that man? I heard a preacher tell one time that he was in an office area and God had told him to witness to his boss who was an atheist. And he dealt with them the whole day. He didn't want to do it. And finally he got up and the boldness and the Holy Spirit just strengthened him. And he went into his room, the boss's office, and gave him the gospel. Shared with him his testimony. Just poured out his guts to the guy. And the guy said, "What are you doing? Get out of my office. I want nothing to do with your God. In fact, if you don't get out here in the next few seconds, you're fired." So he left discouraged. In grief, he said, "Lord, why did you tell me to go witness to him?" Years later, he was preaching in a conference, and a guy came up to him afterwards and shook his hand and said, "Preacher, you don't know me. This is my family. But years ago, you went into your boss's office and witness to him." He said, "Well, how do you know that? I never told anybody about that." He said, "You didn't know it, preacher. But while you were witnessing to that guy, I was behind his desk laying down towel and heard every single word you said, and I got saved that night." Sometimes when we go and reach out to our foes, we don't get the result we want, but God has a purpose for it. God has a purpose for our grief that we endure from our foes. You notice that in the Bible it says in verse 21, Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example. an example to follow. Would you turn, please, to Matthew chapter number 27? Let's look at the Christ example when he was enduring grief from his foes. Matthew chapter number 27, starting at verse number 27. And the Bible says, then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers, and they stripped him and they put on him a scarlet robe. And when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head and a reed in his right hand, and they bowed a knee before him and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews. And they spit upon him and took the reed and smote him on the head. And after they had mocked him, they took off the robe off from him and put his own raiment on him and led him away to crucify him. There was the Savior of the world coming to these people to offer them eternal life, remission from their sins. And they're mocking him, they're spitting him, they're beating him, and they put a crown of thorns upon his head. Did you realize his reaction? Did he lash out? Did he lash out and curse them? Did he threaten them? Did he say, all right, God, Father, that's enough. This is over. I'm leaving right now. No. He endured the grief. He endured the grief knowing the end result was that he was going to die. He was going to be crucified. He was going to be buried. And 3 days later, he was going to be resurrected. So that we could accept Him as Savior and be saved and born again by the grace of God. He endured grief from His foes when He didn't have to. He was wrongfully accused. There's going to be times in your life when you go to share your testimony with people and they're not going to like it. They're not going to like it. In fact, they may persecute you because of it. They may persecute you because of it, but when it comes down to it, God has a purpose for it. God has a result for your grief, for your persecution, for your suffering. When it comes down to it, our Heavenly Father is refining us, making us more like His beloved Son, who endured suffering from His foes. Not only do we endure grief from our foes, but unfortunately, sometimes our friends too. Sometimes some of the closest people to us are the ones who cause us the greatest pain. Sometimes the people we think that would never do anything make the deepest wounds. Turn to John, please, chapter number 6. In chapter number 6, Jesus had just finished feeding the 5,000 men and all their families. And all these people saw the goodness of Christ and they started to follow Him. They started to want to become His disciples. They started to get close to Him. But when Christ shared with them the only way to heaven, they didn't like it. Sometimes your friends will follow you for what they can get from you. But when you share with them the truth of the Word of God, they're not going to like it. They're not going to like it at all. Look at verse number 60. Many, therefore, of His disciples, when they had heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear? What do you mean the only way to heaven is through Christ? I'm a good person. Are you telling me I'm a bad person? What do you mean that's the only way? And when Jesus knew in Himself that His disciples murmured at it, He said unto them, does this offend you? What if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and should betray Him. And He said, therefore I say unto you, that no man cometh unto Me except it were given unto him of My Father. Notice what happened after He gave them the truth. From this time, From that time, many of the disciples went back and walked no more with him. When I got saved, a lot of the friends that I had before no longer walked with me. When I got saved and I received the Holy Spirit of God the day I got saved and I was changed, I was made into a new creature, and the things that I used to do, they didn't do them anymore. Guess what? I started to become a mirror to them, to my friends. They started seeing themselves. They started seeing the things that they're doing, and it wasn't adding up to the Word of God. And they didn't like it. To this day, I have very few good friends. Very few good friends who I can depend on. Because I found out in this time, there's no closer friend like my Savior. Who will never leave me nor forsake me. He won't let me down. He's there every time I need him. When I'm in my deepest, shallowest pit, he is there for me. He's there for me. Your friends may not be. Your friends may not like it when you share with them the truth. They may not decide to hang around with you anymore. Not only do we endure grief from our foes, from our friends, look at Matthew chapter 26, please. Starting at verse number 47. Let's look at the example of Christ. And while he yet spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and elders of the people. Now that he betrayed him, gave them a sign, saying, whosoever I shall kiss, the same is, he hold him fast. And forthwith he came to Jesus and said, Hail, Master, and kissed him. And Jesus said unto him, Friend, wherefore art thou come? Then came they and laid hands on Jesus and took him. Judas was one of the 12 disciples of the Lord. He was close to him. He ate with him. And when it come down to it, he betrayed our Lord with a kiss. With a kiss. You know what I noticed? Jesus still called him friend. Friend. Did our Lord at that moment act out like if someone had betrayed me, I don't know what I would do in such a situation. I might act out in the flesh or I might try to get back at that person. What did the Lord do? He just stood there and let them take him. He endured the suffering. He endured the grief, for the end result was God's will. Sometimes we endure grief from our foes, our friends, and unfortunately, our family as well. I remember when I got saved, October the 24th, 2010, in a communion service. I remember that after my mom and my family had heard what had happened, they didn't want to deal with me anymore. My mom, who had raised me since I was a child, who was everything to me, was no longer wanted to be a part of my life. My brother, my grandmother, my uncles, my aunts, my cousins, they ostracized me. They wanted nothing to do with me. But my Lord did. Yeah, I lost a family, but I gave them to Heavenly Father. I gained the Heavenly Father, and you know what? No matter what happens in this world, no matter what happens down the road, He'll never leave me. He'll never leave me. I remember what my mother said to me the day I got saved. She said, I don't know you anymore. Who are you? She couldn't recognize me. And I said to her, I said, that's because I have a new Savior. I have Christ in my heart. And I looked at her with tears in my eyes and I said, Mother, I want you two to get saved as well. I don't want you to go to hell. And it ostracized us. There was a separation. But you know what? God had a plan for that. During that separation, my grandfather started to hear the things that had happened to me. And one day I was able to go to my grandfather and witness to him. And you know what happened? He got saved by the grace of God. Got saved by the grace of God. Look at Matthew chapter number 26, same chapter, and look at verse number 69, please. Sometimes our family will let us down. Let's look at the example of Christ. Now Peter sat without in the palace, and a damsel came unto him, saying, Thou also wast with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. Have you ever been in a situation where someone would come up to you and identify you as a Christian? And you may have said, well, yeah, but I don't really practice that much. Or may have been someone popular in school or some of your other friends that say, hey, aren't you one of those Jesus freaks? Nah, man, no, that's not me. What you did was deny Christ. You denied the man who died for you. I've done it before. In fact, I was one of those guys in school who would go up to people who were Christians and persecute them. I say, are you a Christian? What are you a Christian for? Why are you doing the things you're doing? Why are you pushing your religion down my throat? Little did I realize the reason they were sharing the word of God was because they wanted me to get saved. They didn't want me to go to hell. No matter what persecution you may receive because of your faith, no. That God has a plan for it. Though your friends and you may have foes and family that give you grief. But in the end, did not Christ suffer the same? Did not Christ suffer the same persecution, the same denial for us? Are we greater than he? Is a servant greater than the master? Listen to what Peter, well, listen, read what happened to Peter. And when he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him and said unto them that were there, this fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. And again he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. And after a while came unto him, they stood by and said to Peter, surely thou art one of them, for thy speech betrayeth thee. Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew. And you know what happens if you're born again and you deny the Lord, or you're through your actions or through your words? You know what's going to happen? The Holy Spirit of God, if you're saved, is going to come up. And he's going to make you recall who you are. He's going to let you know real fast that he doesn't approve. Look, listen to what happened to Peter. And Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly. He wept bitterly. You're not going to be perfect. You're going to mess up. Your flesh is going to let you down. But the Word of God says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You're going to let the Lord down at some point. But God is faithful. God will strengthen you. Stick to it. Don't leave it behind. Continue with the faith. Continue reading the Word of God. Continue sharing the Word. No matter if you're enduring grief, because remember, you're in good company. Because Christ suffered as well. Thank you.
The closer we walk with Him, the more grief we'll endure. Amen. I've been on both sides of the fence down at the job, haven't you? I've been on the side of the fence where I didn't have much for people that love God. Then I've been on the other side of the fence. Amen. I appreciate our young people being here tonight. And I pray that God will help them to understand that it's worth it. It's worth it all. Moms and dads, it's worth it all. Just do right. Stand with the Lord. It's worth it all. Take your Bible tonight and turn to the book of 2 Corinthians real quickly. I'm not going to preach tonight. Brother Frankie, when you sent me a text and told me that Miss Amber wasn't doing well, I thought, Lord, I need to be prepared because Brother Frankie might not make it tonight. He might have to be with his wife. And Brother John, I thought, well, Brother John's counting on Brother Frankie. You know what I mean? Not that you wouldn't have had something, but I thought, Lord, I need to be prepared. So I'll show you something. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. It'll take just a few minutes. We then as workers together with him beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Give no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed. But in all things, approving ourselves as the ministers of God in much patience. Listen to this. In afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings, by pureness, by knowledge, by longsuffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as chastened and not killed, as sorrowful, see that? Yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing, yet possessing all things. He said, O ye Corinthians, our mouth is opened unto you, our heart is enlarged. How many believes God has used Brother Frankie to open his mouth and his heart to us tonight? You're not straitened in us, but you're straitened in your own bowels. Now, for recompense in the same, I speak as unto my children, be you also enlarged. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Let me just show you a couple things real quickly, just briefly, just a couple of things. It goes hand in hand. It's unbelievable. The first thing in verse number 2 is salvation. This doesn't apply if you're not saved. You fit right in if you're not saved. But if you're saved, there's going to be some grief along the way. The second thing is service. Look in verse 1. Workers together with him. I believe if we're saved, we ought to serve. How many believes that? I'm going to say something stronger than that. I believe if we're saved, we will serve. I believe we will. And the third thing the Lord showed me here, but in verse number 4, in all things approving ourselves the ministers of God, much patience and affliction, necessity and stresses, go on down through the list, and stripes and imprisonment, is the sufferings. Paul said it like this over in Romans 8:18. He said, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that'll be revealed in us." Enduring grief. Brother Frankie, as far as I know, I've never preached on that very thought as long as I've been preaching. It's a wonderful thought. But right here it is. Paul knew how to suffer. He suffered well, didn't he? Amen. I was in the book of Acts. I'll be in the book of Acts Sunday, the Lord willing. When they come out of prison, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer for His name's sake. Their backs are bleeding. Their legs are probably bleeding. And they're shouting when they ought to be whining. They were dining, weren't they? Dining with the Master. So there's sufferings. And then verse number 10, the Bible said it's sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. There's sorrow. And I'm just going to say this tonight. I'm going to say it kindly to each one of us that are in this building tonight. If there's no sorrow and there's no sufferings and there's no service, then maybe there's no salvation. But if there's salvation and there's service and there's sufferings and sorrow, it will probably be because or intensified by this last thing right here. You know what upset your family? I'll tell you what upset your family. Christ made you different. He changed Brother Frankie's life. You say, "Preacher, where did you see that down here?" Well, if you look in the last part of it, he said, "Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness?" I'm going to make a statement tonight. I'm glad we got parents. I'm glad we got our young people tonight. But I'm going to tell you something right now. I was just made aware of something a little while back. I'm going to speak in generalities because I believe that's what the Lord would have me to do. But I'm going to tell you what a cell phone and Facebook makes it easy to do. It makes it easy for light to walk right alongside of darkness. Amen. And God said they're not to have any communion with each other. Am I right or am I wrong? I guarantee you one thing. You send me a text that's ungodly, and I won't be reading the next text that comes from you. My phone tells me, say amen. It tells me who it is. Amen. Ain't that right? Amen. And so when I see that come up there, I say, "I remember what the last one was. Sorry, bud, I ain't got time for that." Amen. Amen. I believe tonight that God wants to help us. Every one of us, moms and dads and teenagers. I'll tell you something right now. If I got a text from Brother Frankie that was inappropriate, the first thing I would do is I'd say, "I don't believe this." And I'd call Brother Frankie. I'd say, "Brother Frankie, did you send it?" And Brother Frankie says, "What do you mean, preacher?" Then I know there's just something messed up. Amen? Yeah. How many knows electronics can get messed up? But if he says, "Yeah, I sent it," and I say, "Brother, what's wrong?" I'm supposed to treat him like a brother. I'm supposed to try to reconcile him, try to help him. Yeah. He says, "If you don't like it, tough." Next time he sends something, I'm not reading it. Is anybody on board with that tonight? Does this scripture teach that tonight? And I'm telling you why we don't suffer any more than we do, because we blend in.
If young people took their stand, if mom and dads took their stand and did not blend in, we'd suffer more than we suffer.
I'll just go ahead and say it like this. If churches in this day and time would take a stand, we'd suffer more than we suffer. Am I right or am I wrong? Man, they didn't have a picnic in the book of Acts. And I just believe tonight, Brother Frankie has brought exactly what God put on his heart. Enduring grief. You say, well, preacher, why in the world would I want to live a separated life and serve the Lord when there's going to be sufferings and when there's going to be sorrow, when there's going to be people that's going to mock me and make fun of me? I'll tell you why. Because it's the right thing to do, number one. And number two, it'll be worth it all one day after a while. Brother John, I was wondering if that was you down behind the desk laying the towel that got saved. Amen. That's the first one to come to my mind. He said, that old boy down behind the desk. I said, well, maybe Brother John was the one laying the towel. And he got saved. Amen. How many of you young people have some friends that are unsaved? How many of you have some that's unsaved? Does this make any sense what this preacher's preached tonight? I'm going to tell you something right now. We ought to try to help somebody if they're doing wrong. But if they won't receive help, we ought to separate from them. How many believes that tonight? We ought to separate from them. I believe that tonight. Thank you, preacher, for obeying the Lord. Amen. Thank you. Let's pray. Father, thank you tonight for our young people. Lord, I guess I have a little bit of an idea, but Lord, I don't even know what all they're facing. God, I know it's not easy. Yeah. Taking a stand. Right. Lord, it's hard to sometimes know just exactly what to do and how to do it, that we wouldn't come off arrogant, that we wouldn't come off with a holier-than-thou attitude. God, we sure don't need to dive into the things of this world. Yeah. I pray, Father, for our young people. I pray for their precious mothers and fathers. I pray, Lord, that You would instill it in their hearts tonight not to send messages and not to receive messages that they know would be displeasing in Thy sight. Yeah. God, I know tonight, Lord, Brother Brian taught about our ears and our eyes, how they need to be guarded, Lord. Father, I pray You'd guard our young people tonight. And Lord, I pray tonight, Lord, that there be somebody. Lord, it'd only take one. But just be willing to stand up and say, that ain't right. Please don't do that. That ain't right. Maybe, Lord, a revival break out. God, I pray tonight that You'd help us all, Father, that we might endure grief more like Jesus did. Yeah. Father, it hurts when somebody despitefully uses you. It hurts. God, I pray tonight, Lord, that You'd help us to react and respond in a way that be pleasing to Thee.